to JC. Afternoon, KN4TFW.
This afternoon, you on your way home or you done?
The other day, I'm about, I'm just now rolling into the northern part of Greer.
Same if you had to travel around.
It's mostly inside today, and outside a little bit, but it was a nice day for sure.
The tree pollen was down today. I was outside for a little while earlier and didn't seem to be bothering the grass pollen. There's probably going to cut up a little bit, I think, over the next couple of days, but sure beats that nasty weather we had yesterday.
I was in the 50s and that, man, that was terrible, wasn't it?
And stayed inside all day. I don't think we got out yesterday, as a matter of fact.
We missed summer altogether.
Great term, but I remember years ago, I think it was in the spring, and they used to call it a blackberry winter when it got cold like that.
And I seen the blackberries are all starting to bloom out and that, and I see the mulberry trees almost turned all black now, so it's about that time.
This week we'll start seeing a little bit warmer weather. Probably didn't rain every 3 days, and it'll be okay with me. My grass grows. I mean, it's awful. Like, I didn't do any pre-emergent on it this year, and the dagum clover just pops up everywhere.
Kind of hate to fertilize it, but what happens to me is I fertilize it and everything, and then it sets in raining, like you said, every other day, and then it grows like heck, and you can't get it cut, and then it's just a big catastrophe.
When it rains, my yard looks pretty decent. I had some bluegrass out originally, but then I put sod out, patches of sod out here and there, kind of over the years, and just about all the backyard has still got a ways to go, but I just can't, my water bill's so high here, I can't afford to water it, so when it gets dry, I just let it go.
Yeah, Jim, monitoring. Harry's in there, wanted to say hello, and whoever you talk to, hello as well, and I'll just get back here on the side, I'll listen in. M4WHM clear.
Working this week, or you take another week off?
Early today because of graduation. They let us get out early so we could get out of the way for all them kids to graduate tonight. It's going to be a stadium full.
KN4TFW.
You ought to be about home by now. And, Bill, I tell you, I'm surprised they're going to let the whole graduating class in the stadium.
Hey, the governor signed or unsigned or whatever he did, but he basically removed all restrictions. No mask required if you've got your shot. No social distancing required if you got your shot. They sent out a email today at lunch basically saying we're returning back to normal operation as of June 30. And as of today at noon, there's no more mask requirement on campus if you're vaccinated.
Well then, go ahead, Ken.
I was wondering how they know if you're vaccinated. I might just identify as vaccinated.
There'll be a few that will. That was one of the big questions, but I guess the politicians know what they're doing, or not.
That might be a or not in some cases.
Same thing I was thinking, Jerry.
Ken's about to get back to Drew. I'll let him jump back in, but when he gets through, did you get your hot spot? I think you said you got your hot spot up and running, I believe.
Yeah, I got it up and running, and had to work on the frequencies a little bit, but I'd messed around with it and hit the wrong button, I guess, and just reloaded it. So did Patrick from up in North Carolina. He, you know, Patrick, I'm sure he had the same issue I did. You hit the wrong button on them and they'll go crazy.
I tried to change some of those settings on my computer so, you know, the screens would come on, but I didn't have any success. But I did notice that if I, control L to lock it out, if I do that and then log back into it, it pops right on then.
I got a Pi Store. The only problem I had with mine was getting it to connect to my Wi-Fi, and somebody told me online that they just don't leave any spaces, you know, put a underline or something in your Wi-Fi password, and when I did that, it connected up, but it didn't say anywhere in the book about it. But I got mine hooked up. Mine will do multiple modes, but somebody told me, I've got mine set on D-Star now, but somebody told me that you can't go D-Star to DMR and vice, you know, Fusion, any of that stuff that you had to use either a Fusion or a DMR radio, and it'd go through, it cross bands into other modes, but I don't know what it does. I just got them there, but I've been using D-Star mostly. I'm D-Star exclusively anyway, but I had to reburn my disk in. I mean, my image on my card on mine, just to be sure I had it set up right. But it took forever. It took me about 2 days to figure out what it was doing right. Crazy.
Yeah, it can be a frustrating experience when you're playing with computers and technology, that's for sure. I get to do that every day, all day. I learned to have a lot of patience with computers.
Got this. Yeah, sometimes the best thing for me to just walk away from it for a while and come back and figure out what I need to do. I know I was doing some stuff, some tax stuff here about a month ago for my son, and he had some unusual tax situations come up, and I really wasn't sure if I wasn't going to have to go see a CPA about it, but then I set it aside for a while and came back to it and figured it out. But with computer stuff, I've been fooling with them a long time, but I'm not a programmer or anything like that. I just fiddle with them more than anything else. But you just got to be patient, and sometimes you have to sit there and just, like I said, be able to walk away for a while and come back with fresh perspective on it. Sometimes that, you know, that solution will pop up, but sometimes it don't. And especially with some of the computer stuff with these rigs, you just... The menu stuff on a lot of these radios is just so complicated now. It's unbelievable. I mean, when I was accustomed to, you know, I've been out of the hobby basically for the most part for 15 years. I was just shocked at how much it changed.
VHMID. Yeah, Jerry, I agree. It has changed a lot, and the radios have gotten more and more complex. If you can't get a programming cable and software to program them, going through the menu can be rough. The you can, of course, you know, set some keys to help you get to things quickly and do some VFO to memory channel stuff on most of them, but it requires software and download cable now to really program one and get it right. And it can be aggravating. And I got a whole drawer full of software and cables for every radio I got, because that's the only way I can really get them programmed.
My fool, Yazoo, ICOM, and Kenwood. To be honest with you, the ICOM is about as easy as any of them. Yazoo, it can be a little quirky sometimes. It was a Yazoo, and I think it was a 51 Yazoo. Not compared to a 51 ICOM. It's been back in the 90s, and Lori's husband, Don, you know, Lori and Don are both hams. Lori's husband, Don, is a PhD electrical engineer at 51. He actually was the first one that came out that you could program it by a computer. And using in that same software system they used to program that radio back in the mid-90s is very similar to what Yazoo uses now. It's just, I think they call it ADMS or something like that, but it's very similar. But the some of the things you have to do to get the firmware upgrade on some of them is just unreal. But the I got an ICOM 2300. I just, you know, it's different than a lot of ICOM radios. I just program it from the front. I don't fool with the software and the other ones, the D74. I can do it from program it from the front too. But then I just download it to the card and put the card in the computer and see if I can change some settings on the lamp and load it back up again. But then again, some of these things require some of them, you know, want you to have a USB connection, then they want it to be a serial connection, and you know, and it's just very confusing. I almost have to, you know, have to work on one at a time, and then when I go to know it, it just confuses me all over again.
I programmed one channel in the frequency into this thing just so I could say I did it, and then I used the cable and the computer to get the rest of them.
You run in there.
This ICOM 2730A, KN4 TFW.
I think you do full duplex on that rig too, for satellites if you ever decide to get into that. But, Bill, yeah, my problem is I got Macs and I got to run Windows in virtual machine with parallels, and that it doesn't work exactly the same as it does to dedicated Windows PC. And I may have to do that one of these days. I don't know. I hadn't made up my mind yet.
I switch between a Mac and a Windows at work, and my laptop is a Mac, and I've got Windows loaded on it on one side so I can boot up in either one. And like I said, it works, but it's not quite the same as a Windows machine. And nowadays, you can get a Windows machine for just over $100. And if you're just doing USB programming, like on these Anytone radios, they got one on their site they recommend. I think it's a HP, if I'm not mistaken. It may not be, but it's like $129 or $39. And it runs their CPS software extremely well. I just do it on my regular Windows machine.
Yeah, it makes sense, because by the time I had to buy parallels and buy the Windows 10, you know, not the OEM version, but the Windows retail version, I could have bought a daggum PC, I think. Inexpensive, because I really don't, you know, other than just downloading stuff, download firmware upgrades and that sort of thing. You know, I need it for like three or four radios, and that's really all I need it for. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I'm rolling up in the driveway now, so I'm going to say 73. And Jerry and Bill, you guys have an awesome weekend, and I look forward to catching you another time on the radio, KN4 TFW.
Have a great weekend. It looks like it's going to be a nice one.
Ken, good to talk with you. I think we've talked before, and didn't mean to get in the middle of your conversation, but glad I got to talk to you. You have a great weekend, and be safe. This is M4WHM. Back to you, Jerry.
So they changed the Harlow Sun's publisher changed again. What's going on behind that? Does Gail have any info?
Right here beside me, she said she doesn't know anything about it. She's fixing to go up to Gail's. She'll ask her and find out something. I'll let you know. I know they got the building they're in up for sale, so I don't know what all's going on. I saw it online for sale, you know, commercial sale, this week.
Let's say the publisher, the editor, whoever, you know, the editor they had for a few years, they got a different one. They just hired, they just came on board a few weeks ago, I think. And I know Gail's column wasn't in there last week or this week, so was wondering what's going on. They don't print. I think they printed it. They may probably print it in Athens, I guess, but I think the same group owns the Star as well, I think. But I was kind of disappointed. I like the other guy. I don't know anything about this guy yet. But I guess they change with the wind sometimes. But we'll see what he does with it.
It does change a lot, or it has recently. You know, it stayed the same thing with Wasi for forever and a day, and since those days, it's changed hands several times. So, but we'll see. I don't know, like I said, what this new fellow will do, but I don't think Gail's just had a column the last couple of weeks. I'm sure she will. She enjoys that. Seems to enjoy the whole political side of it. So I'm sure we'll be hearing from her soon.
Enjoy reading her column. But I didn't know what was going on, whether the guy left or what happened. But I thought he was doing a pretty good job. But, you know, for a long time, at least when Lynn's parents were still living, you know, we'd go up there and I always watched his daughter or granddaughter. Who was one of her relatives was up there, and they were doing a lot of the local stuff too. But she's not there anymore. I can't remember her name. That saved my life. But I'm sure Jana knows her. I know Gail does for sure. But I don't know what happened to her. But she was doing a real good job at following all the stuff, local stuff that's going on other than sports. But it seems like it's mostly sports and other stuff. You know, there's not quite as much as the local stuff as I remember seeing in there. But anyway, I'm sure Gail will figure out what's going on with it and get them straightened out.
Gail's a fighter and a feisty one, that's for sure. And she's getting more feisty the older she gets.
Doesn't run into family, does it?
I'm afraid it does.
Ellen and Mother were such good friends over the years. I was just crazy about Ellen. She was a really special person to Mother, and I always come to see her when she's in the hospital and all that sort of thing. Of course, Terry and my dad were good friends, too. But Ellen was just a special person, and I really miss her. I know Jana does, too, and all the rest of the family does, too. But she was one of the funniest people, too, sometimes. She was absolutely kind. Mother was in the hospital, in Hart County Hospital one time. Ellen was in there, and I thought, I don't know which one of them was laughing harder, Mother or her, but they were telling some stories, and I said, I don't know whether they made them up or not, but they were funny.
Jim, I did. Yeah, they could have a time. Ellen was special. Darren and Ellen were like parents to me. It went far beyond being just in-laws. They were so good to me. I sure do miss them. Jana's sitting here and said, tell about the first date. Yeah, Jana's daddy questioned me for 30, 45 minutes before they'd let us get out the door, wanting to know all about me. It was something else. He loved to talk anyway, so.
Of course, yeah, I'm closer to Gail than Gail and I were just a year apart. About a year apart, I guess. He used to tease her all the time. I said, yeah, they're scary boys away from you girls. You know that, don't you? And a lot of people were scared of me. I remember that Ed Kiesler, Kathy and Becky did. They was the same way. I was scared of Ed as it would be of a snake. I used to laugh about it there, and like I said, I always got along good with there, and I said the same thing about Ed too. And I said, of course, I wasn't dating any of the daughters either, though.
First few weeks, months, it was funny. I was living on the lake, and it'd get curfew time, which was about 10:30, and Jana wasn't home, the phone would ring, and it'd be Ellen, it'd be telling us that, don't you think it's about time to come home? So, we was young and in love. That's been a little over 30 years ago now. My high time flies.
That's hard to believe it's been that long. I remember Lynn was telling me the other day that Jana, I think Lynn's mother, Jana, and somebody else might have come up to see us in Fort Mill and go to the spring store. And that's been pretty close to, it's been pretty close to 30 years ago, maybe longer ago than that. But yeah, I tell you what, that's one thing about horror. We can get away from it, but we really don't get it. They don't get it out of our system, I don't guess. I was talking to Tom Hartigan the other day, and he was asking me some. He called me every once in a while, asking me some questions about stuff. And I said, Tom, just tell me what you want to know. Don't beat around the bush. He'd him haul around, like he does sometimes. And I always used to get tickled at times. He was one of the dentists we go to here in Anderson. One of his, I guess it must be his. She's not a hygienist, but she's like a basically like a dental assistant. She does a lot of stuff that the dentist does. She wound up. I knew Tom. I said everybody knows Tom.
Everybody I know does, and I think he knows most everybody too.
Alan, he ain't never met a stranger.
Yes, I have either. If I meet somebody, whether it's on the radio or in person, if they want to talk, I'll talk with them and trade stories and tell tales and just, ain't no reason not to be friendly and sociable. You know, sometimes I'm in a hurry and got something on my mind, but most time I got nothing but time, and I can take 5, 10, 30 minutes, whatever it is, and it may be what that person needs for that day. So I just consider it part of what I'm doing, and part of what the good Lord's doing through me is talking to people and just sometimes listening.
I got started in it. Lynn told me, she said, are you doing trading a phone for gossip for a radio?
I don't know. There's a little bit of gossip and a little bit of tall tales on the radio, but most time it's good conversation, just like this. Johnny gets tickled at it, listen to it, because I'll have it on in the car and in the house, or like right now, the pouring boy out here, we're sitting outside, and she'll hear somebody say something, and she'll get tickled. You just never know what you're going to hear, really.
As Walt ain't on this afternoon. Now, Walt, now he's led a colorful life. I think it's K4OIS. He done a little bit of everything. Now, he's led a colorful life. Some of the stories he's told me over the last year or so, I absolutely crack up at it, because I remember some of those times. He's a witty person, and he's done things that I would have never even thought about doing. And I tell you what, I don't know about tall tales. I believe most of these tales are probably true, because people say stuff on the radio and they won't say to you in person.
But I believe most everything I hear. We were hearing some tales over the last couple of days that have had us chuckling. And Jana's like, did they really say that? And I said, yeah. That's what they said.
Yeah, I had radios and we've lived in an apartment complex for a long time in Rock Hill before we moved over to across the river to Fort Mill. I always had a radio. I either had a 2 meter rig, usually a 2 meter rig and an HF rig, and then when I was in the complex there, because since Lynn managed it, I could, they let me put up antennas. I had a 2 meter beam on top of the roof of the apartment and had a vertical HF vertical out in front of it. So I didn't hear the road, but he didn't. You know, the guy never said anything to us about. I asked him permission to do this. Sure, ain't no problem. I didn't have any problem with RF either. That was a big thing. That's when everybody started switching over to cable, so you didn't have too many problems like years ago when you get into everybody's TV. It about stopped when cable came along.
Back when I was young, the neighbors and even across the river, I grew up down on Bobby Brown Park Road in Elberton, and across the road in Calum Falls, the folks with CBs, they had such amps on them that they would come through on our TV far away. It was a mess. And I remember somebody telling me, I don't know how true it was or not, but they swore that in town, when microwaves first come out, that their neighbor would come through on their microwave. He had such a hot rig running with amps.
Those amps he used to run, those things were nasty spectrum. I mean, if you put them on a scope, they were just all over, splattered all over the place. They weren't, you know, since they weren't type exception. Now, 10-meter stuff is... 10 meters got a bad reputation because of it too, because people will convert some old amps over to 10, but if you get a good clean amp, 10's fine. Boy, but the guy got me started that amp radio. He was a big 6-meter fan, and see, that's dead on channel 3, I think, on channel 3 TV. And back when I first started, there was still a lot of people that were getting over there broadcast. And he had a little ham shack back behind his house, and he had a tower up about 60 feet, I guess, and had a 6 or 7 helmet, 6-meter beam up, and he's running an old Swan 350. I think that thing was running about 250 watts. You know, a couple of ladies next door, they must stay up all night long. He said, every time I get on ready, they call me, I wonder what I'm, you know, after get off. And I think when they went to cable, I don't think they ever had any problems. By then, 6 meters was about as dead as a hammer. Then you could, you know, we used to get on that thing. We talk all over the world, you know, easily on 6. Not, I mean, most places anyway. We cover the U.S. pretty well in Europe, and Canada, and some parts of South America too. When that band's open, it's open. But when it ain't open, you know, it ain't doing nothing.
The sky, the sun, the magnetic field, the atmosphere—it plays a big role in what you're doing and the way you bounce them waves. That's for sure. It's just like here on 2 meter. You know, you get a little front coming through, and it gets crackly and white noise in it from the wind. And it amazes me. I can sit here and talk to you from Hartwell all the way up to Caesar's Head and back on a little handheld portable.
See for ID. I remember it's been, gosh, it must be back in the 80s, Bill, I think. It seems like it's 83 or 84, whenever they had the World Fair in Knoxville. That was when the 1-9 machine on top of Grandfather Mountain was, that's when it was really a great repeater. It was well kept up then, and, you know, it was something else. But I could be in 4 mil inside my office on a handheld, get into that repeater and talk to somebody in Knoxville, you know, walking through the gates at the World's Fair. And I'd run about 5 watts in on just a rubber duck and get into that Mount Mitchell. I said, Grandpa, Mount Mitchell machine. It's hard to get into here. I can barely get into it with a beam, but I mean that's a great repeater. Still is. I mean, it still gets a lot of coverage. But yeah, it's amazing. These link machines now, so you can link them all up and talk to all of them, you know, all of the world. Same thing with DMR too. That just amazes me that people. Yeah, you can get on DMR, D-Star, and talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere, and on 100 milliwatts or something like that if you're going through a hotspot.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it was Thursday night, about 1:30. I woke up, and I just walked by the radio. I turned it on, and I beat up on the Worldwide Talk group, and I mean, it was just as busy as could be at 1:30 in the morning, and took me 10 minutes to get a clear path to where I could hit the disconnect group so I could shut it down. It was so busy. A lot of people on DMR right now. It's a hot button topic.
For a reason, it's reasonable to get into, and people enjoy it, and it's, the program and the radio is the only difficult thing that I see to it. And you can get some terrible radios, too, but most of them, they get better and better all the time. And they just too damn complicated program for a lot of people. It's really tough, but once you learn how to do it, though, it's pretty easy, unless you get some oddball radio. One of the guys over here in Anderson had one. He had a radio oddity, I think is what he told me. He said it took him forever. He couldn't find anybody to help him program it. He said it took him forever. He said, after he learned how to program it, what do you think that is? He said, but it didn't program like anything else he'd seen.
Nuances of how to program it is definitely the key. I spent two solid days on my hotspot getting it set up and running. And, I mean, like I said, I do IT work for a living, and I was scratching my head going, why can't I make this thing work? And turned out my problem was March 27th is when they started requiring a password on your Brandmeister hotspot. Well, I started setting mine up the 1st of April. And all the videos I watched didn't have the password part in it. And I bet I set that thing up 30 or 40 times and finally watched a video with the password, and I put the password in, it worked the first time.
Some instructions, from what I've looked at online, some instructions aren't very clear either. But I think, based on what I've seen, some of the guys that have that know how to program commercial radio seem to be pretty adept at getting things set up and know what to look for. But that's not a real common skill. Of course, I'm sure it is now since DMR has become as hot as it is. But DMR, I guess the same as motor turbo, same thing. I think that's what Arcan's on now. It's mostly encrypted, I think, from what I understand. I don't hear some of the stuff on the VHF frequencies occasionally, but not, I don't hear anything on the DMR. It's just, it's all encrypted now, I guess.
Well, it is. I don't know of any way to pick it up other than be on that digital frequency. So, but it's, but like I said, I mean, you can talk to, I've talked to Australia, New Zealand, Scotland, all over the UK, Asia, South America, all over the United States. I bought the Supercode plug from Bridgecom. It's got every country, every region, every state, all of it already programmed, and you just have to set your frequency, which you export it to Excel and set your frequency and then re-import it, which is pretty easy if you're good with Excel. And but I've had some great conversations on it.
D-Star, although I don't think I know D-Star is a lot easier to set up. You know, there are a bunch of reflectors on there. They're basically two reflectors that are, you get a lot more worldwide conversations on it, and you can pick the country and get a repeater and all that sort of thing. But the reflectors are like talk, I mean, I guess like worldwide talk groups on DMR, but they're two reflectors. We got a lot of guys there, guys from Korea on, and I used to talk to a couple of guys in Australia, and one guy in New Zealand on Saturday afternoons, which is Sunday afternoons for them, I think. A couple of guys I used to get up with every once in a while. And I got some guys in Texas I talked to, later on in the evening. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's especially good for people that can't put up an antenna system or can't get out and especially people that are a little older can't get out and do things. It makes a big difference being able to have that kind of contact, worldwide contact, you know, going through a hot spot.
GMID. Yeah, I agree. It's opening up a whole new world of contacts and radios and ways to communicate. And some people like it, some people don't, and that's okay. You know, I mean, I've only been in the hobby about just under 10 years, and I've stayed on the 2 meter and never got in HF. I've studied for the general exam a couple of times and could probably pass it and get in HF, but I got in the DMR, so I'm going to run that route for a while, and I may still get my general class just to have it.
Go HF, especially when the bands start opening up a little bit better over the course of the next few years. I mean, they're still open off and on now, but you have to be selective about what you're doing. It's just not like it was back in the early 80s. We just get on any time of day almost and work stations, work DX stations. But it's still a lot of fun. It's a challenge, and it's just like anything else. It's a little more challenging now than it used to be, but you still got a lot of people working a lot of stations on, you know, 5-10 watts with a wire antenna. It's not unheard of. It's not just, you have to pick your time and frequency and country you're looking for, though, but it's still a lot of fun. But, you know, like I said, the other ones are, it's like, to me, I compare it to, you know, to the analogy of no code licenses. A lot of people said that's going to be the end of the hobby. I said, no, it's not. I said, the code is a big barrier for a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of, you're missing out on a lot of technical people that just don't think codes, you know, the modern thing to do. Of course, I love CW, but I don't think it's a thing to do. They prefer other mode, digital modes and other things. I said, but it's kind of it's just another passage to the hobby. Although one thing I do think, and I hear it more and more in the last year, you know, since I've been a little more active, is a lot of guys get on and get in HF or other things, that really, since they study questions instead of knowing the theory and the rules, it makes it a little harder for them to just merge into radio, because there's still a lot of things that they don't know that they might have known, you know, back in the day, if they had taken the code requirement away from them, you know, you had to study for the exam rather than studying the questions. And I think that does make a bigger difference now than it did 10 or 15, 20 years ago, because a lot of guys, they just don't understand, you know, some of the, I mean, the guys that are technical understand, but a lot of guys get on and pass the question, you know, get the test, take the little questions and pass it, but they still got a lot more learning, and that's where people have been around a long time, and by trial and error, that's where they come in and help, more or less an helper, like we used to call them back in the day, and that really, I think that helps out a lot, and because they just looking for, sometimes they don't get the answer they want, but they're looking for answers to questions, and people in the know have to provide it for them.
HMID. Yeah, you're right. A lot of people just study for the test and don't really get the knowledge, but that's why I've been studying so long. I've been trying to actually learn it and understand it and not just be able to memorize the questions for a test. So hopefully whenever that day comes, I'll be ready.
I took my technician exam at the FCC office in Atlanta, and they wouldn't even let me take a calculator in with me. I had a pencil and a piece of paper, and that'd do some, draw some circuits and some other stuff, and, you know, that sort of thing. And so you really had to know a little bit more about it. But that's that's one of the things I enjoyed about it, because I wasn't an electronics guy. I just got interested in it later on in life. But I enjoyed that part of it, and it was I'm not going to say it's more difficult, because sometimes learning those questions is harder than getting down and learning the theory itself or learning the rules, because there's a lot of it. It's like, it's not, I wouldn't compare it to a pilot's license, but there are a lot of things that are, that you really get, you're much better off starting out if you've got a better knowledge than, got a pretty good knowledge of the basics, and you have, especially antennas and grounds and that sort of thing. I think it makes a big difference, and especially on the roof. The rule book's pretty thick, and a lot of things that are just kind of, like that crossband repeater thing I was talking about to a guy earlier today, that just, there's a lot of things people don't realize about crossband repeaters that the rule book says, but most people don't follow it.
Repeater, it needs to ID itself, and a lot of them don't know how. So, like I said, there's a lot of little rules that people don't know about, and a lot of people are getting crossband radios and using them, and technically it's a repeater, or at least that's the way I understand it, so it should have to ID itself. I think some radios can do it. I don't know, mine, I've got some TH-900 radios that'll do crossband repeater, and I've played with it, but I never have seen how to make it ID itself.
Ones that will ID themselves are Ken Woods and Yasu's. ICON won't ID themselves, at least none of the current radios will, but I can see there's a way to get them to do it. But, you know, the Ken Woods will, but the problem with Ken Woods is they ID in both directions. So, and then there's the correct terminology. I always call it crossband repeater, but the correct terminology is remote. You got remote control of the rig. And there was a number of years ago, a lot of the Kenwoods, which you could, you had a thing called Sky Commander, where you could turn the rig on and off with another radio, with another Kenwood radio. And those radios don't, I think the CS-2000 is the only one that still does it, but there's nothing currently produced that you can use Sky Command on anymore. And that was a trick, because you have to be able to turn the radio on off remotely, either that. And the other thing about the Kenwoods is they got a non-defeatable timeout timer of 3 minutes. So if somebody gets on, if you use it as a crossband rig and you're not there close by where you can reset it, somebody gets on and talks a long time like someone like I do when I run my mouth, they'll time the radio out, and then you're in 3 minutes and that's it. So crossband repeat doesn't, it's like it's not a panacea, but there are some other things you could add to them, some rig control options you can use with them to get them to do that, but it's kind of out of range of most people. Most people don't want to get that involved in it to do it. They're looking for a little easier way to get some, to be able to use a handheld in more remote areas, and I get that, but it's just, the FCC is just not, the rules are relatively clear about it, but they don't, there's just not any radios out there. There's nothing out there right now that'll do everything that the FCC requires.
Yeah, you're right, Jerry. There's a lot of requirements, and unfortunately a lot of people are looking for an easy button. And a lot of these, radio I'm on is a Chinese radio, this Inutone. They make them where they'll go out of band and make them where you can change them and do different things, and you have to watch what you're doing with them if you want to stay inside the rigs. A lot of people, the Baofengs, they'll talk on, or the older ones would talk on just about any frequency it could tune in, and they finally changed them, but it's tough to stay up with every rule and regulation unless you're really on top of it.
Now, thing quit, Patrick.
04HKX. Yeah, I've just been sitting here listening for the last little bit. And I was going to say, I haven't been able to find out where I can make my ID 5100 crossband repeat when, or ID when I'm crossband repeating.
Hey, man, and I couldn't find it either. There's a way to do it. It should require some extra stuff on it, but like I said, they got them, you know, really, I think. You know, the thing about a lot of these radios is a lot of these radios are not really set up, although they're marketed in the U.S., but they're really, some of these radios are more marketed for other markets that don't have the same requirements and don't do the same thing. But the regulations are such that, you know, you're supposed to have some type of ID on it or either time out at 3 minutes, but they don't make it easy. And a lot of people just don't ID at all, you know, ID every 10 minutes. Just, you know, the way the rules read, that's not the 100% kosher way to do it, but a lot of people do it that way. And, you know, if it's an emergency situation, you do what you got to do. It's real confusing. I mean, I've had a lot of discussions about it with other people, and some people think, you know, they ain't got to do that, and then the Kenwood topic comes up, but it IDs in both directions, so people are hearing it ID twice over the repeater, which is annoying. And then you got another situation, if you got link repeaters, they're all IDing, and your radio's IDing in both directions too, and it's just a confusing thing. So, but there may be a thing with, you know, you may be able to use a rig control or something like that to be able to do that. That may be the only way to do it, but I'm not familiar with it. I'm sure W4DJW probably knows how to do it, but I haven't seen anything. You know, I kind of dropped it after I read all the rules and just didn't fool with it anymore after that.
With the radio and the owner's manual, or the manual, and I can't find anything in there, and I can't find any information online about making it ID itself, so I'm going to say it can't do it.
But Patrick, if you can get it to, you know, without going too far outside the lines, if you can get it to time out, you're using it at home anyway. So if you can get it to time out at 3 minutes, which is one of the rules that are in the rigs, is if you can't control the radio, it has to time out after 3 minutes. If you can get it where you can set it to time out after 3 minutes, you know, that covers part of it. And, you know, of course, you can ID it yourself, maybe. But, there's a section in the AWRL website that talks about it. Like, it's a little confusing, you know, especially since they offer all the radios offer, you know, the Kenwoods and Yazoos and High Comp all offer crossband operation. It's kind of odd that they didn't set it up so it worked like it's supposed to.
Back to like you were saying earlier, they're built for more than one country of use, and they don't have the same regulations that we do. I think that's more what it boils down to.
But also, too, Patrick, if you know the rules, if you're physically in control of the radio, in other words, if you can walk across the yard and control the radio, that may qualify as being in control of the radio, and it's not considered, you know, didn't have the same consideration. But if it's sitting out somewhere, you know, miles away or something, you can't get to it. That's a little different story. But like I said, the CWID is kind of a catch-22 situation. If it's set up right, you'll hear it. But see, they have to hear it too, since it messes up some repeaters. Others, it doesn't matter, I don't think. There's a workaround to it, I think, in a couple of areas, and a couple of repeaters. It's more up to the repeater operator than anybody else, is whether or not they want or not. I know that the link repeaters, they don't like them hooked up to them for, you know, because of the IDs of other repeaters. But other than that, if a standard repeater, I think it's just a question of getting the trustee to okay it and figuring out some way to, you know, be in control of the radio, which is, I mean, if you're, whether you're across the yard or across the room, you know, I mean, if you're sitting at the radio, that's one thing, but if you're across the room, is that in control of the radio? I mean, yeah, who knows? It's the same thing with Same thing with computer control. I mean, you got computer control of the radio, but you're not physically there. And so there's a lot of gray area that one of these days somebody in the FCC really needs to address to get it straightened out, and maybe some of these manufacturers get off their tails and build a radio that'll meet the requirements.
We lose you. KO4 HKX Friday.
That's the way I learn. I listen a lot. I like to talk, but I like to listen just as much. I actually think I have to get up, go in the house, and get ready for dinner. So I'll go ahead and say 73 is while I'm talking, gentlemen. Jerry, it's great to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon, and I'll see what I can find out about the new editor. And Patrick, you be good. Y'all have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself, and I'm sure we'll be back on radio soon. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear on your return.
Tell Gail I said hello. Don't let Jana put a knot on your head.
Three to you, and have a good evening. If I don't talk to you again, have a good weekend.
She said upon restart X.
Having enough struggle with this DMR right now for me.
That stuff is way too confusing for me. I've watched some YouTube videos about it. I said, man, that is something. Have you got yours working okay now?
But the problem I'm having now is I'm only hearing one channel and I can't get it to change talk groups. So I got to figure out what I've done wrong.
Finding it, because I had a hard enough time getting my D-Star stuff set up, but I know a little more about it than having done it wrong long multiple times. I told Bill earlier, it took me about 2 days to get my 5-star set up, and it ought to be real simple. But it wasn't simple for me because I didn't know that you couldn't have you couldn't have spaces for your Wi-Fi SSID. Now, after I got that straight, it looked right up. Closing up that page, you ought to be able to get into some stuff created. And of course, a hotspot would be a great thing, too. But I've enjoyed, I haven't been on it much lately, but I enjoy listening to it. That's a lot of fun.
4HKX. Jerry, I don't know what happened there, but something like somebody was talking over top of you or what. I don't know.
At that time on your transmission, Patrick, is any better now?
About the same. Something must have happened. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll get out of here then, because I don't know what it is. You sound a little staticky, and the repeater sounds like you sound a little bit staticky, but listen, I'll say 73 to you. You take care of yourself, and you have a great weekend. Hopefully I'll talk to you a little later. M4DJC, clear.
You take care of yourself. 73 to you, and I'll look forward to you on down the line there. KO4HKX, clear.
JW, KN4, VWA.
KN4VWA, W4NWB.
I don't think he want to talk to you, Steve. K2RCL. Last time I checked, unless my wife changed my name.
Well, I didn't hear what you said. I had a guy in a pickup truck. Virtually no mufflers. Rednecks or Us has got nothing on him. I couldn't hear anything.
Thinking they don't want to talk to you.
Who's that, W4DJW?
Is that they just ain't listening.
No, he may still be on the job. He works off of West Coast time.
I have a hard enough time working on East Coast time, let alone West Coast.